At Kitagiri, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Blessed One was wandering in the Khasi country together with a large sangha of bhikkhus. There he addressed the bhikkhus thus. Bhikkhus, I abstain from eating at night. By doing so, I am free from illness and affliction, and I enjoy lightness, strength, and a comfortable abiding. Come, bhikkhus, abstain from eating at night. By doing so, you will be free from illness and affliction, and you will enjoy lightness, strength, and a comfortable abiding. Yes, venerable sir, they replied. Then, as the Blessed One was wandering by stages in the Khasi country, he eventually arrived at a Khasi town called Kitagiri. There he lived in this Khasi town, Kitagiri. Now on that occasion, the bhikkhus, led by Asaji and Punabasuka, were residing at Kitagiri. Then a number of bhikkhus went and told them, Friends, the Blessed One and the Sangha of bhikkhus now abstain from eating at night. By doing so, they are free from illness and affliction, and they enjoy health, strength, and a comfortable abiding. Come, friends, abstain from eating at night. By doing so, you too will be free from illness and affliction, and you will enjoy lightness, strength, and a comfortable abiding. When this was said, the bhikkhus, led by Asaji and Punabasuka, told those bhikkhus, Friends, we eat in the evening, in the morning, and in the day outside the proper time. By doing so, we are free from illness and affliction, and we enjoy lightness, strength, and a comfortable abiding. Why should we abandon a benefit visible here and now to pursue a benefit to be achieved at a future time? We shall eat in the evening, in the morning, and in the day outside the proper time. Since the bhikkhus were unable to convince the bhikkhus led by Asaji and Punabasuka, they went to the Blessed One. After paying homage to him, they sat down at one side and told him all that had occurred, adding, Venerable Sir, since we were unable to convince the bhikkhus led by Asaji and Punabasuka, we have reported this matter to the Blessed One. Then the Blessed One addressed a certain bhikkhu thus, Come, bhikkhu, tell the bhikkhus led by Asaji and Punabasuka in my name that the teacher calls them. Yes, venerable sir, he replied, and he went to the bhikkhus led by Asaji and Punabasuka and told them, The teacher calls you, friends. Yes, friend, they replied, and they went to the Blessed One, and after paying homage to him, sat down at one side. The Blessed One then said, Bhikkhus, is it true that when a number of bhikkhus went and told you, Friends, the Blessed One and the Sangha now abstain from eating at night. Come, friends, abstain from eating at night. You told those bhikkhus, Friends, we eat in the evening. Why should we abandon a benefit visible here and now to pursue a benefit to be achieved at a future time? We shall eat in the evening, in the morning, and in the day outside the proper time. Yes, venerable sir. Bhikkhus, have you known me to teach the Dhamma in such a way as this? Whatever this person experiences, whether pleasant or painful, or neither painful nor pleasant, unwholesome states diminish in him, and wholesome states increase. No, venerable sir. Bhikkhus, have you not known me to teach the Dhamma in such a way as this? Here, when someone feels a certain kind of pleasant feeling, unwholesome states increase in him and wholesome states diminish. But when someone feels another kind of pleasant feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him and wholesome states increase. Here, when someone feels a certain kind of painful feeling, unwholesome states increase in him and wholesome states diminish. But when someone feels another kind of painful feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him and wholesome states increase. Here, when someone feels a certain kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling, unwholesome states increase in him and wholesome states diminish. But when someone feels another kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him and wholesome states increase. Yes, venerable sir. Good, bhikkhus. And if it were unknown by me, unseen, unfound, unrealized, uncontacted by wisdom thus, here, when someone feels a certain kind of pleasant feeling, unwholesome states increase in him, and wholesome states diminish, would it be fitting for me, not knowing that, to say, abandon such a kind of pleasant feeling? No, venerable sir. But because it is known by me, seen, found, realized, contacted by wisdom thus, here when someone feels a certain kind of pleasant feeling, unwholesome states increase in him, and wholesome states diminish, that I therefore say, abandon such a kind of pleasant feeling. If it were unknown by me, unseen, unfound, unrealized, uncontacted by wisdom thus, here when someone feels another kind of pleasant feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him and wholesome states increase, would it be fitting for me, not knowing that, to say, enter upon and abide in such a kind of pleasant feeling? No, venerable sir. But because it is known by me, seen, found, realized, contacted by wisdom thus, here when someone feels another kind of pleasant feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him and wholesome states increase, that I therefore say, enter upon and abide in such a kind of pleasant feeling. If it were unknown by me, unseen, unfound, unrealized, uncontacted by wisdom thus, here, when someone feels a certain kind of painful feeling, unwholesome states increase in him and wholesome states diminish, would it be fitting for me, not knowing that, to say, abandon such a kind of painful feeling? But because it is known by me, seen, found, realized, contacted by wisdom thus, here when someone feels a certain kind of painful feeling, unwholesome states increase in him, and wholesome states diminish, that I therefore say, abandon such a kind of painful feeling. If it were unknown by me, unseen, unfound, unrealized, uncontacted by wisdom thus, here, when someone feels another kind of painful feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him, and wholesome states increase, would it be fitting for me, not knowing that, to say, enter upon and abide in such a kind of painful feeling? No, venerable sir. But because it is known by me, seen, found, realized, contacted by wisdom thus, here, when someone feels another kind of painful feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him and wholesome states increase, that I therefore say, enter upon and abide in such a kind of painful feeling. If it were unknown by me, unseen, unfound, unrealized, uncontacted by wisdom thus, here, when someone feels a certain kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling, unwholesome states increase in him, and wholesome states diminish, would it be fitting for me, not knowing that, to say, abandon such a kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling? No, venerable sir. But because it is known by me, seen, found, realized, contacted by wisdom thus, here when someone feels a certain kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling, unwholesome states increase in him, and wholesome states diminish, that I therefore say, abandon such a kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling. If it were unknown by me, unseen, unfound, unrealized, uncontacted by wisdom thus, here, when someone feels another kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him, and wholesome states increase, would it be fitting for me, not knowing that, to say, enter upon and abide in such a kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling? No, venerable sir, but because it is known by me, seen, found, realized, contacted by wisdom thus, here when someone feels another kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling, unwholesome states diminish in him, and wholesome states increase, that I therefore say, enter upon and abide in such a kind of neither painful nor pleasant feeling. Bhikkhus, I do not say of all bhikkhus that they still have work to do with diligence, nor do I say of all bhikkhus that they have no more work to do with diligence. I do not say of those bhikkhus who are arahants with taints destroyed, who have lived the holy life, done what had to be done, laid down the burden, reached the true goal, destroyed the fetters of being, and are completely liberated through final knowledge, that they still have work to do with diligence. Why is that? They have done their work with diligence. They are no more capable of being negligent. I say of such bhikkhus who are in higher training, whose minds have not yet reached the goal, and who are still aspiring to the supreme security from bondage, that they still have work to do with diligence. Why is that? Because when those venerable ones make use of suitable resting places and associate with good friends and nurture their spiritual faculties, they may, by realizing for themselves with direct knowledge here and now, enter upon and abide in that supreme goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. Seeing this fruit of diligence for these bhikkhus, I say that they still have work to do with diligence. Bhikkhus, there are 7 kinds of persons to be found existing in the world. What 7? They are: one liberated in both ways, one liberated by wisdom, a body witness, one attained to view, one liberated by faith, a Dhamma follower, and a faith follower. What kind of person is one liberated in both ways? Here some person contacts with the body and abides in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, and his taints are destroyed by his seeing with wisdom. This kind of person is called one liberated in both ways. I do not say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? He has done his work with diligence. He is no more capable of being negligent. What kind of person is one liberated by wisdom? Here, some person does not contact with the body and abide in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, but his taints are destroyed by his seeing with wisdom. This kind of person is called one liberated by wisdom. I do not say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? He has done his work with diligence. He is no more capable of being negligent. What kind of person is a body witness? Here some person contacts with the body and abides in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, and some of his taints are destroyed by seeing with wisdom. This kind of person is called a body witness. I say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? Because when that venerable one makes use of suitable resting places and associates with good friends and nurtures his spiritual faculties, he may, by realizing for himself with direct knowledge here and now, enter upon and abide in that supreme goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. Seeing this fruit of diligence for such a bhikkhu, I say that he still has work to do with diligence. What kind of person is one attained to view? Here some person does not contact with the body and abide in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, but some of his taints are destroyed by his seeing with wisdom, and he has reviewed and examined with wisdom the teachings proclaimed by the Tathagata. This kind of person is called one attained to view. I say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? Because when that venerable one makes use of suitable resting places and associates with good friends and nurtures his spiritual faculties, he may, by realizing for himself with direct knowledge here and now, enter upon and abide in that supreme goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. Seeing this fruit of diligence for such a bhikkhu, I say that he still has work to do with diligence. What kind of person is one liberated by faith? Here some person does not contact with the body and abide in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, but some of his taints are destroyed by his seeing with wisdom, and his faith is planted, rooted, and established in the Tathagata. This kind of person is called one liberated by faith. I say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? Because when that venerable one makes use of suitable resting places and associates with good friends and nurtures his spiritual faculties, he may, by realizing for himself with direct knowledge here and now, enter upon and abide in that supreme goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. Seeing this fruit of diligence for such a bhikkhu, I say that he still has work to do with diligence. What kind of person is a Dhamma follower? Here some person does not contact with the body and abide in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, and his taints are not yet destroyed by his seeing with wisdom. But those teachings proclaimed by the Tathagata are accepted by him after reflecting on them sufficiently with wisdom. Furthermore, he has these qualities: the faith faculty, the energy faculty, the mindfulness faculty, the concentration faculty, and the wisdom faculty. This kind of person is called a Dhamma follower. I say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? Because when that venerable one makes use of suitable resting places and associates with good friends and nurtures his spiritual faculties, he may, by realizing for himself with direct knowledge here and now, enter upon and abide in that supreme goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. Seeing this fruit of diligence for such a bhikkhu, I say that he still has work to do with diligence. What kind of person is a faith follower? Here some person does not contact with the body and abide in those liberations that are peaceful and immaterial, transcending forms, and his taints are not yet destroyed by his seeing with wisdom, yet he has sufficient faith in and love for the Tathagata. Furthermore, he has these qualities: the faith faculty, the energy faculty, the mindfulness faculty, the concentration faculty, and the wisdom faculty. This kind of person is called a faith follower. I say of such a bhikkhu that he still has work to do with diligence. Why is that? Because when that venerable one makes use of suitable resting places and associates with good friends and nurtures his spiritual faculties, he may, by realizing for himself with direct knowledge here and now, enter upon and abide in that supreme goal of the holy life, for the sake of which clansmen rightly go forth from the home life into homelessness. Seeing this fruit of diligence for such a bhikkhu, I say that he still has work to do with diligence. Bhikkhus, I do not say that final knowledge is achieved all at once. On the contrary, final knowledge is achieved by gradual training, by gradual practice, by gradual progress. And how is final knowledge achieved by gradual training, gradual practice, gradual progress? Here, one who has faith in a teacher visits him. When he visits him, he pays respect to him. When he pays respect to him, he gives ear. One who gives ear hears the Dhamma. Having heard the Dhamma, he memorizes it. He examines the meaning of the teachings he has memorized. When he examines their meaning, he gains a reflective acceptance of those teachings. When he has gained a reflective acceptance of those teachings, zeal springs up in him. When zeal has sprung up, he applies his will. Having applied his will, he scrutinizes. Having scrutinized, he strives. Resolutely striving, he realizes with the body the supreme truth and sees it by penetrating it with wisdom. There has not been that faith, bhikkhus, and there has not been that visiting, and there has not been that paying of respect, and there has not been that giving ear, and there has not been that hearing of the Dhamma, and there has not been that memorizing of the Dhamma, and there has not been that examination of the meaning, and there has not been that reflective acceptance of the teachings, and there has not been that zeal, and there has not been that application of will, and there has not been that scrutiny, and there has not been that striving. Bhikkhus, you have lost your way. Bhikkhus, you have been practicing the wrong way. Just how far, bhikkhus, have these misguided men strayed from this doctrine and discipline? Bhikkhus, there is a four-phrased statement, and when it is recited, a wise man would quickly understand it. I shall recite it to you, bhikkhus. Try to understand it. Venerable sir, who are we that we should understand the Dhamma? Bhikkhus, even with a teacher who is concerned with material things, an heir to material things, attached to material things, such haggling by his disciples would not be proper. If we get this, we will do it. If we don't get this, we won't do it. So what should be said when the teacher is the Tathagata, who is utterly detached from material things? Bhikkhus, for a faithful disciple who is intent on fathoming the teacher's dispensation, it is natural that he conduct himself thus. The Blessed One is the teacher, I am a disciple. The Blessed One knows, I do not know. For a faithful disciple who is intent on fathoming the teacher's dispensation, the teacher's dispensation is nourishing and refreshing. For a faithful disciple who is intent on fathoming the teacher's dispensation, it is natural that he conduct himself thus. Willingly, let only my skin, sinews, and bones remain, and let the flesh and blood dry up on my body, but my energy shall not be relaxed so long as I have not attained what can be attained by manly strength, manly energy, and manly persistence. For a faithful disciple who is intent on fathoming the teacher's dispensation, one of two fruits may be expected, either final knowledge here and now, or, if there is a trace of clinging left, non-return. That is what the Blessed One said. The bhikkhus were satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words.